But we begin with a walk across America, 300 miles of it anyway. The last patrol, four men and a dog trying to come home from the addictive violence of war.
All of us had been in combat. All of us had lost people. None of us were going to go back to war. And I took him on this 300-plus mile journey along the railroad lines, partly to sort of meet America again and partly to talk about why war is so hard to unhook from.
After nearly 20 years covering war, his 2010 Afghanistan movie Restrepo was nominated for an Academy Award. Journalist and documentarian Sebastian Junger says he's done filing from the battlefield. His latest movie, The Last Patrol, was suggested by his longtime friend and collaborator, Tim Hetherington.
He was, as you know, he was tragically killed in Libya on a trip I was supposed to be on with him, and I couldn't at the last minute. I couldn't go, and then he was killed. And I was going to do this journey with Tim, and
he even suggested it.
Well, I thought of it, yeah. And he was like, okay, say that again into the camera. And years later, after he died, I found that bit of footage on the hard drive where he's saying, okay, tell me your idea again, right? And so I tell we're on an Amtrak train, and I'm looking out the window. I'm like, we could walk along this whole damn thing, and we could sleep outside, you know, et cetera. And I describe my idea for the trip, and he's totally psyched about it. And then he gets himself killed, and it was tragic. It tore my life apart for a while.
That life of Sebastian's is beginning to settle down, and this final film of a trilogy is a bit like the movie Deliverance or Kerouac's On the Road. But for veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan, there's nothing quite like it.
A lot of soldiers really miss combat. They really miss the war, which is confusing to them and to their spouses and to everybody else, you know. It feels so wrong to miss something so bad, right? But what they're really missing is human closeness.
Right.
I mean, they're in combat in a group of 20, 30 men in a bunker, whatever. Like, that combat experience is very intimate, actually, and you're very connected in a human way to other people. Yeah. And then they come back to this wide-open, fragmented, alienating society, and frankly, it's pretty scary. In an odd way, it's more frightening than combat. So the value that this film has, I think, is it shows four men who are recreating that close bond, except they're not getting shot at. They're back home. We're back home. I mean, okay, we're walking along railroad lines. We're doing something weird, but it is
in
the United
States. It's not so weird. It's America.
It's America.
It is America. Yeah. And it's not the America of the supermarkets where there's a million options for buying cereal and the overstimulated sense that so many other films give when soldiers come back home and they just kind of, you know, lose it. This is a very relaxed sense of comfort in this journey.
Yeah, we didn't have tents, right? We slept under bridges and in abandoned buildings, and we bathed in rivers and cooked dinner over twig fires in the woods, and it was all illegal, so we had to avoid the police. We made ourselves marginal, right? And you know, at the end of the day, what we needed a safe place to sleep where we would have cover from the rain, where no one would see us, and access to water. Very elemental human concerns. When soldiers come back, they feel socially marginal because their experience has changed them a lot. What I did is I made us literally physically marginal. And in that process, we bonded together very, very well. And that was absolutely therapeutic for all of us.
And what you see around you is everything in America.
That's right. I mean, the cool thing about railroad is it goes straight through the middle of everything. It goes right through the ghettos of Baltimore, right through the rich suburbs of Philadelphia, right to industry and farms and wilderness. I mean, it just skewers everything. You see America from the inside out. And, you know, there's areas going through the cities. Obviously, we're not on the railroad line. It's sort of fenced off. So then we're on surface streets. And one of the things we did, I started out asking people, how's the country doing? What's going on? How do you think we're doing? And actually, that wasn't a very good question, because people, what they would do is they would complain about where we're at, legitimately, I think, but they would complain with sound bites they'd heard on the media. You know, we're turning into a socialist country, or we have to get closer to God. You know, it's like, it's completely useless analysis for the complex situation we're in, right? So I got tired of those questions, so I started doing is saying, what's the best thing about this country? And it was really interesting. The poorer the community – I mean, we walked through some hardcore ghettos in Baltimore. And in the really poor communities, African-American communities, people would say, it's a free country. That's the best thing about America, is that we're free. In the wealthy communities, they didn't say that. They said, America is the land of opportunity. And I just had this thought, like, We're in a tough place right now, this country is. And what we have to do is flip those so that rich people actually truly get it, how lucky they are to be free, to live in a free country. They don't even think of it, right? It doesn't even occur to them. And poor people, we have to get this country to a place where poor people actually think it's a land of opportunity. And until we flip that, we're going to be in trouble.
You know, one of the things that I loved is how you get into some details about coming home from war.
I've never looked for a job.
You've never looked for a job?
Ever. And then buying clothes. Yeah. I think I'll just wear the same thing every day.
Yeah.
But I would say that I won't miss, like, the Army.
Yeah.
In a big... It's been good. They've given me every single thing I have. But I won't miss it. That, the institution.
Yeah, Dave Rolls, one of the two soldiers, vets, he went into the service at 17 or 18. He's never applied for a job. And he's never bought clothes. He just wears the same thing all the time, except, as he said, once a week when he goes to church. And his wife probably buys him those clothes, you know. And these guys are coming. You know, the last time they were civilians, they were teenagers. And now Dave's 40. It's tough. It really is tough.
Guillermo describes you at one point in this movie, and I want to play that clip for you.
Sebastian, for me, is the lost of the group. He's lost, trying to find himself, trying to follow directions from Dave because you're lost.
We're shooting guitar up right here, slope that way.
Trying to follow directions from me in a way when talking about women because you're lost. Like the lost kid who is the oldest in the family, who tried to take care of the other kids.
Did you edit that?
I was part of the decision to put that in, yeah. I mean, I had an editor, but yeah, that was my decision.
What did it feel like to hear that from him?
I loved it, actually. I've sort of structured my life around trying to be good at things, and it was so great to have someone come in and say, but you're also lost. And I was like, I had gone through a very painful period in my life. Tim had died, my dad had just died right before we left on this trip. My personal life was in a very, very tricky place. I was suffering significant consequences from the combat. I was a complete mess. And I'm good now. But, half of us in that, there are four of us, half of us, our marriages were breaking up. All of us had some version of PTSD.
Alcoholism comes up.
Alcoholism, yeah. And half of us had just lost our fathers. We were a wounded group in a lot of ways.
Are you lost now?
No, I feel good. I feel good, yeah. A lot of things changed in my life. But, one of them was like this incredible year-long experience out there with these guys. That was I actually struggled to really articulate why it helped so much, but it was a very, very good thing for us.
After this, I gather riding the Acela must be pretty boring.
I'm worried they're going to recognize me and keep me from getting on the train.
There you go. Always undercover.
That's right.
Always behind enemy lines. Sebastian Younger, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Sebastian Younger is a journalist, co-director of the award-winning documentary Restrepo, and the director of this latest documentary film, The Last Patrol.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.